Well, hello everybody and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show. We're actually streaming live from BBS in California and syndicating to over 100 stations globally and on the Podopolo platform as well, a new podcasting platform. And we'll appear on iTunes and iHeartRadio as well. So I'm your show host, Yvonne E.L. Silver. If we haven't met, my mission is uplifting the spirit of humanity. And I do that by showcasing amazing women who are out in the world fulfilling their passion and also supporting others. Typically, they've risen from some sort of tragedy to triumph. There's usually a really interesting story involved, chaos to confidence, and now doing intriguing things that I want to showcase. And many of them this year have actually got a social enterprise passion as well, or some sort of social cause that is of interest. So we'll get to that piece in a minute. So myself, as a female founder and entrepreneur, certified executive coach, and chartered HR professional, I've helped thousands of women, people, all kinds of people, but particularly in the last 10 years, women, to find excellent career choices. And in the last 10 years in particular, working with women, women entrepreneurs, founders and leaders, to be coaching and mentoring them to help them to excel in their leadership and in particular in their confidence. So today I work with those ladies, women entrepreneurs, founders and leaders who are ready to flourish in business, to expand and engage their team, to have more sales, to grow their business, and have a sustainable business that's fun, because business can be fun when we actually are getting what we're asking for at the table. And then we become great role models for our children as well. Because I believe we can have it all. We can have balance and we can have a successful business. So today I'm delighted to be joined by my guest, Divya Parekh. Now, am I pronouncing your name correctly, Divya?
You got it.
Awesome. Okay. Now, Divya has a really interesting background. Really interesting. She's worked with thousands of entrepreneurs, coaches, and consultants and leaders herself from a wide array of different industries. And like me, she enjoys those who really want to play full out, experience the joy of impacting others and expanding their business and reach and revenue. Now, her background is really quite interesting. She was in South Dakota and she fractured her right arm in multiple places. So I'm going to let her talk about her story because this is an interesting element of resilience. So today she works to achieve success, support her clients through coaching, through authorship, consulting, speaking, authority, positioning, exposure marketing, media marketing, course building, and loves holding Get Work Done masterminds and speaking at leadership, entrepreneurial, and women's conferences. Isn't it amazing when you can actually have a vision, have wisdom to share, and then speak and get that out into the community, Divya?
Absolutely, Yvonne.
Yeah. So she's an avid proponent for oceanic sustainability, nature communing, and mentoring young students and women to help them create opportunities for themselves and for their communities. And she's been invited as a media influencer to publicity conferences and summits, including sharing the virtual platform with industry leaders such as Jack Canfield and JJ Virgin. And her books, numerous books, books and strategies have been endorsed by the likes of Brian Tracy, Marshall Goldsmith, Kevin Harrington from Shark Tank, Joe Theismann, if you're not familiar with him, the Super Bowl world champion and entrepreneur. I'm not a sports fanatic, so thanks for letting me know where he is from. Rhonda Vater, global CIO, CTO, and 2019 top 50 most powerful tech women. Sherry Wynn, two-time Olympian, and many, many more. So you're in the right circles to be doing the kind of work that you're doing, working in media and PR, as well as sharing your insights through coaching and mentoring. So welcome to the show, Divya.
good to be here with you.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we connected recently, and right away, I love talking with fellow authors, and I see that you have your book behind you, so we'll get into that in a little bit. But I'm intrigued to hear your story. Typically, there's a tragedy to triumph story. Sometimes it goes back into childhood, and sometimes it's more recent. But tell me, how has your life's experience led you to where you are today? What is your story?
So, you know, each and every one of us experiences life differently, and it's a continuum. There's no one stop that, oh, this thing happened and then there's a change. The way I see it is, I come from a science background. It's evolution. And I started out being a tomboy, causing my mother's... Like, she used to love to tell me, I got heart problems because you had been a rambunctious child. So, you know, we all have our things. So emerging from that and always being curious about science and just knowing about our complicated human system, for me, our human body and mind and spirit, everything that we have been given is such a work of art and science from nature, God, power, whatever you call. And that propelled me towards biochemistry and neuroscience. So learning science, and from moving through there, being part of running leading multi-million dollar projects and working my career laterally. So from marketing to being pure scientist, to being an engineer, to being in quality control, to being customer liaison, to being a team lead, to just multiple roles and learning the business at a very high level, and then coming down to smaller. And if we talk about tragedies, I have considered those to be as learning opportunities, because that's the beautiful ground that life creates. Our environment creates, because there's so many things that we don't have control over. Like, for now, you know, we have COVID-19 and we have tensions and divisions. So there's so many things that shape us. I've had my fair share of adversities. And one of the things I do want to share is that goes back to one of the times, like, I want to focus on like a couple of stories. One time when a lot of my friends were laid off. So we had a young family and my husband was in IT, and there were rumors that, of course, at that point in time in 2008, you know, IT folks were going to be let go of. That did come to fruition, and, you know, he was fortunate to have found another contract job. But just going through that experience and waiting for the X to fall, so to speak, and I saw a lot of my folks, my family at work, just being walked off at a moment's notice. That was just something that impacted me tremendously. And moving forward to, and it propelled me towards the area of entrepreneurship, and just stepping into that arena was just phenomenal, because I knew that I was responsible for everything. When you're in corporate world, you have a team, a huge team behind you. You have that certainty of where's your next paycheck going to come. You have the certainty of health insurance and the savings, and there's so many perks that happen. Something goes wrong with your computer, you take it to your IT department and say, hey, you know what? Can you help me out with this? Or you are bouncing off ideas. So that challenge of stepping into entrepreneurship was tough. And yet it was something that I really, really wanted to do. So that was one of the turning points. And another turning point I want to talk about is, this is on our summer vacation, last day of our vacation. And just we were walking back from restaurant, really had a great dinner, really enjoyed it. And you know how you feel when you have had a good meal And you're looking back at the vacation and talking about, this was one of the best vacations ever. And all of a sudden, the whole sky, if you were not expecting any rain, it was just a thunderstorm, tropical storm, not sure what it was. Everything became so dark, we could barely see. And just from being dusk, it became pitch dark. Almost the night felt like this. And we were in a remote area, so the lightings were not that heavy outside. And it's just we were walking, and I was in flip-flops. Of course, summertime, you want to be relaxed. Not sure what I hit or what happened, and poof, I just went flying. I probably hit my head, not sure what happened, and there was just this searing pain. That was like, oh, I just couldn't bear, and looking at the kids, and then, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Don't want to worry anybody. And they help me up. I'm just holding my arm close to my body and saying, oh, I've probably, taken a bad sprain or dislocated or something. It's nighttime, and gotta tell you folks, in South Dakota, there are certain areas, where the roads are so winding that it's like every 10 seconds you're just turning around, and there you are on another winding circle. There you are again on, the very curvy road. And on some areas, some remote areas, like we were in one of the remote areas, they do not have the guardrails. So we are talking with the receptionist, asking, hey, do you have any ibuprofen, aspirin, nothing, no pain medicine. Fortunately, I had one Tylenol left or something like that. And we asked her how far was the hospital. Hospital was like 15, 20 miles. And that's one of the things, right? When you're in a remote area, you are enjoying the nature. You're having fun. And yet at the same time now, when you're in remote and it's pouring. And then we were looking at the weather. It was supposed to rain for next few hours. And then you're saying, oh, should we go to the hospital? Not go to the hospital, because now if you go to the hospital, what if the car just, you have all these thoughts, especially when you're hurting. Oh, just the idea of going across that hospital, and then just something clicked in my brain. And what if something was really, really bad? And now we have got flights for next day, early morning, and here I am. What if I got to stay back in the hospital? I just made a decision right there in that moment and said, oh, I'm good. I'm having really bad pain. I of course just said, maybe Divya, you are being a little baby here. I said, oh, no pain, it's good, just on one Tylenol. Getting the whole night, could not sleep. Next day, catch a flight, and we had a layover, so could barely walk. Go up to those people, who have, they have the Chicago, our layover was on Chicago Airport, and they have these pretty cool, I don't know what you would call, like carts. They take you from one terminal to another terminal. And I just reached out and said that, hey, listen, I'm in my makeshift. I just took like one of the t-shirts and we made a makeshift sling, and my arm is there. My arm's really hurting. Do you think you could take me from here to that terminal? When I walk, it just hurts a lot. And the guy was really nice, he dropped us off. So this was again like almost 10, 12 hours of flight time with layovers and all that, come home. And while I was sitting at the airport, I'm deciding, today is Thursday, and when I go, I don't want to go to the urgent care. I don't want to sit there. So I'm talking to my doctor and saying like, okay, when can I get an appointment at the doctor's office, the receptionist? And she said, oh yeah, you know what? We can get you in probably day after tomorrow. I think so it was Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm losing the track of the count, but it was something like that. They did not have an appointment on the day after we reached home.
Right.
I said, yeah, give me after the day after. So just taking a few Tylenols, and I go in and I'm joking with my doctor and saying, oh, I think so. I probably have hit my shoulder pretty hard. it's hurting a lot. And she just tried to move it a little bit. And then I screamed. She's like, okay, you're getting an extra taken here. You need to do it. So the tears are pouring down. And I'm like, oh gosh, you know, I'm being such a baby here. And she said, no, you're not being a baby. Just relax. We'll get the, go in the x-ray room. And the x-ray technician, oh, such a wonderful young girl, and like just trying to move my arm a little bit, not even like 5 degrees. And I heard this blood curdling scream. I'm like, oh, am I in this theater watching Exorcist or watching those nightmarish movies, and Scream and those horrible scary movies? And then I realized, I look left, right, oh, it's me that was screaming.
And you're in a observer okay. mood already.
So she says, I'm not touching you. And then immediately my doctor calls in the orthopedic and they talk around and say, okay, gotta go for a CT scan. Go for a CT scan. And I find out I had broken my shoulder in multiple places. I was not being a baby. And my, of course, the orthopedic surgeon that I talked to and my doctor, they were very upset. They're like, okay, so you're saying that you've been sitting with all this pain for almost 3.5 days. What you been doing? Very upset. And then, so from there began the story of healing. And there's something in the insurance or something in their treatment that if it is less than of a certain, I don't remember the exact measurements, if it is less than that, they'll not do the surgery. And then began the long journey. I would not heal. Gosh, it took some time. And then it was almost 6 to 7 months of healing, not having the surgery done because it was not part of the insurance. And oh gosh, I don't even want to go into the insurance thing. And
so were you just battling. Were you able to work during that time at all, or was your business
that's what I wanted to share, that because I've got really bad stomach issues, I could not take the pain meds, and I am a person who you can say is a sucker for hardships, or you know, just tries to push myself very, very hard. Okay, why do I need to take so many pain meds? And I would go without the pain meds, so I just was not in it. And some of my loyal clients did stay back, and for most of it, the clients, I did say that, you know, I'm not going to be able to serve you to my fullest capacity. So I transferred them to other coaches, and that was coming from a place of integrity. They wanted to stay. They said, Zivia, you and your pain are better than anybody else. For them, you know, it's a connection. For them, they wanted to continue with me, but I felt that I would not do justice to them. So we agreed, and most of them have come back, which is very, you know, so awesome and wonderful. And at the same time, you know, a couple of them stayed on, and my business, which was thriving and flying, and I had speaking engagements, and I had to cancel paid speaking engagements that I cannot come on because my orthopedic surgeon has told me not to fly. But because if it jarred and I had multiple pieces, and if some one of the pieces moved, you know, it would be a nightmare for them to fix it. So here they are, they can do the surgery, and on the other hand, I can move my arm. So learned a lot. I took, ate a lot of humble pies, learned to take help. And so after that, I got a frozen shoulder. And that took almost a year. So it was a big chunk of time, but I got to share that one of the best experiences at that time, not totally at that time when I was going through it, the learning that I got from it, best adventure. Mm-hmm. One of the best adventures of my life, because I learned so much about human beings, getting that love from people, unconditional love, just pouring of love and seeing the divinity in people, and just so beautiful that, and also learning my capacity, right? That, hey, you can hit the bottom and you can still get out of it.
Yeah, it's really interesting how, you know, sometimes the universe, I call it the universe, you may call it, you know, your experience, God, how, you know, sometimes we wonder when we look back on an experience, when we're in it, we don't necessarily see the gift in it. But when we look back, we say, ah, you know, I was going full pelt. I probably would have exploded if I didn't hire, you know, extra people on my team. I was, you know, way too busy. I was not seeing my family. I hear a lot of those types of comments from my clients too, where they've developed this business and now it's turned into a monster. It's sort of off and running without them. And sometimes that universal tap on the head, whether it's in the case of a broken shoulder in several places, something that's going to take you out of the game for months and months and months, it is such a gift when you have that time to reflect. And I think all of us right now are having this time of reflection with, you know, the big pause sort of concept with COVID and stepping out of our usual routines and reality. And there are great learnings come out of that. So what were some of your key takeaways now that you've got time to look back, big learnings from that experience? What were some of those?
So one of my big learnings was that it's really critical to build your coping skills during normal times. Yeah. And when I talk about coping skills, is just personal strength, your capacity, your character, and that's what comes out during the tough times. I have been an avid medicine practitioner, and when I say medicine, in the form of meditation. To me, meditation is the best medicine that anybody can have, practicing mindfulness.
Yeah.
And as I have been practicing those for ton of years, you know, the one thing that always emerges to me through meditation is that the nature of impermanence, the nature of uncertainty, that life is uncertain, we don't know. And you learn that in principle, you experience in principle, and then yet every uncertainty that comes through, it's a challenge. There's no way I'm diminishing or minimizing my experience. And yet, how can we move through it? Because I went into debt. I went into a severe debt. Because at that time, we were at a borderline where, you know, we had to pay for insurance. And that was almost like $19,000, $19,000 just for the insurance itself. And then co-pays and all that, that just shoved me. My business was running. And as I mentioned, that as I was running the business, coming from a place of integrity, I let go of my business much lower where I could have sustained it. And that was, again, one of the learnings, is that what is more important to you? Value, money, and when these two conflict, what are you going to decide with? So for me, the value is that no matter what, fine, if I go into debt, I go into debt. It's about serving the other people to the fullest of my ability. If I'm not doing it, then it's a disservice to myself, disservice to others.
Right.
So surprisingly, you know, I was surprised too that I was able to stick to it. So that's one of the learnings, is having those core values. What is it that drives your life? And that will help you decide in times of toughness. And also learning that money is just an idea. It's how your mindset is. How, if you're going to be able to show up, if you're going to be able to play full out, that you're willing to do what it takes, you can rise back up again. Because I've been through a couple of times like that. And then it just brought back that, you know, yes, money is an idea. It's about having that abundance mindset, thinking of others. And when you do that, what goes around comes around. Another thing that I learned was it was okay to ask for help. Because I'll tell you, the outpouring of love I got. And one of the things is, another thing that I learned was vulnerability. Because here's what I could do, right? I could have hired somebody to come help me take care because I could not take a shower with my arm in. My neighbors, my friends, they said, no, you're not calling anybody. I had a roster and I knew who was going to come to help me. And, you know, it was very, very hard. Somebody is helping you with things that you can. So in that moment, it's okay to be vulnerable.
Mm. It's
rather than having this
so much for others to be served upon.
Yeah. And rather than having this image of yourself that, oh, you know what, I'm only supposed to help others. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to have that exchange of energy. And people, the love I got, people told me, hey, Divya, you know, you've stood by us through this and this. Just let us do it. Don't. So I learned to break. Usually I used to think I don't have an ego, but in that moment I did realize that I had an ego where I was like, why am I taking help? It's okay. You know, everybody needs help. And that was the best learning experience where I learned that I can ask for help. I have friends and family. I have got this beautiful circle of just beautiful people around me that I'm blessed to have. And then it's okay. I'm a human being. I'm a flawed human being, and it's okay to be flawed.
Well, so being perfectly flawed. I can't remember who said that.
But imperfectly perfect.
I mean, nobody is perfect anyway. I love what you just said though about allowing people to help you, because the energy of reciprocity is so important in this world. And I think we're seeing it right now with COVID, where, you know, someone's showing up unexpectedly and leaving a basket of something on someone's doorstep. Sometimes it's wine and sometimes it's toilet paper, you know, whatever it is the person might need. And yet so often we don't give people the pleasure of serving us. It's like getting a Christmas gift and then saying, oh, no, I don't want that. Take it back. We wouldn't typically do that. And yet when we decline people's help, we're in essence pushing them away and saying, no, I don't need you. And so it's mm-hmm. always worthwhile accepting whatever the gift is that comes to you. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're in so much pain yourself, that authentic leadership style, which is one of the things that I work quite a lot with my female clients with, is so important to understand where is that balance between showing leadership, true leadership, and taking command of a situation when clearly it's your authority, your decision to make, and yet understanding that it's okay to show the humanity, the human side of you when things are going sideways, that you don't have everything all together because no one is perfect. And when they see that balance, that yes, they can rely on you when things go sideways, and yet you're still human, that is where I see authentic leadership come into play. And you obviously have experienced the opportunity to be blessed with some of that. So that's very valuable sharing. Also, the piece that you shared about coming back to core values, I love that piece. There is actually a tool that I've used quite frequently in the past, which is a Martin Seligman tool with the Happiness Institute. It's called the VIA. So if anyone is listening and you don't have a good sense of your values, it's a free tool that you can hop online, look up the VIA, Victor India Apple, and there is a report you can purchase, but there's also a free version, which will actually give you your top 20 values in priority order. And what I like about it is it gives you the definition as well, which is really helpful to put on a bio, a speaker sheet, a resume, a website, anything that you're using to summarize who you are and what some of your critical values are. And it does help us ground our decisions when we know, you know, excellence, leadership, personal growth, you know, whatever the values are that are important to you. It just makes it so much easier in today's society where we're being bombarded with information and invitations to buy all the time, what things are really going to serve us. Thank you for sharing those pieces. That's important. Was there anything else you wanted to add on that? Lessons learned.
Oh, there are so many lessons learned. I could just keep on going. One of the main things is being compassionate towards yourself and being forgiving, and especially with women. That was one of the things that I learned so beautifully in that imperfectly perfect attitude, perspective, whatever you want to call it, is that having that self-compassion. So here I was, I'm practicing mindfulness And I make an effort to practice compassion to everybody else, trying to understand them. And it's important to extend it to yourself, because I found that when you practice that on yourself, you're able to practice even a whole lot more at a much deeper level with others.
Yeah, absolutely. And they see and feel it. When you've done your own inner work, it shows up in your brilliance because of the questions that you can ask them. They know that you get it, because you wouldn't have the depth of wisdom to know to even ask the question unless you had done your own work, right? And all the experiences that you bring to the work that you do now, you know, science, engineering, project work, you know, so valuable for expanding our minds and looking at where is there new possibilities. You've been able to pivot and go from various careers, one to the other to the other, and now my sense is that it's sort of coming all full circle into a package that you can then offer back to the world in a way that showcases, look, I can change and shift and find my biggest purpose, and also something that I can help you do as well. So thank you for bringing your full self to the conversation.
Thank you.
So I noticed your book in the back there, and I'm curious, did you want to just hold that up to the camera for us?
Sure.
Okay. So I have that. I have that description here of what the book is about. So this is all about learning to elevate your influence and create a culture of change. So great that you got Kevin Harrington to give you a quote. Divya's process will help you hone your ability to evaluate thoroughly any problem. If you're struggling to reach your audience and share your message, or being frustrated by the barriers preventing you from creating lasting impact, this is the book for you. So if you're hungry to grow your business but don't want to compromise your ideals, this is the guidance that, with over 20 years of experience building connections for Global 50 companies, professor, mentor, and motivational speaker Divya Parekh has guided thousands of people to become influential movers and shakers. And in your book there, you now share precisely structured processes for empowering entrepreneurs and experts to connect with their patrons and establish a strong personal brand. So tell me about the process. How long did it take to write this book? Because I know it's not your first book.
Well, process, let me go back to Kevin. So I have certain philosophies that I've written, and the philosophies that I've included in this book, that was one of the endorsements that I received for those philosophies. And this book was marinating in my head for quite some time. And I'm just going to give a little glimpse of one of the stories. So to me, what has happened is that with the advent of social media, the word influencer has got a negative connotation. And a lot of people are even moving towards saying amplifier instead of influencer. And I want to bring people back to the word influence. And what does influencer mean? And this goes back to one of my favorite stories. So I mentor our young robotics team, and this is a nonprofit robotics team that was started by high school kids. And their vision was to help youngsters who don't have an opportunity. So usually what happens is in the robotics teams, when students are entering or becoming part of it, there are pretty hefty fees to it. And it's not easy for everybody to get in. And what we started doing was we were giving them opportunities to kids who were economically challenged and did not have as much opportunities as some other kids have. And as part of that, we did a lot of outreaches. And part of that outreach, we take our Lego kids, which are robotics kids, go there to different areas, you know, different schools and different areas, or to daycares in different areas and then advertise it. And kids of all different ages come in, they play with it. So they're getting exposed to see whether they even like it or don't like it. And that was one of the part of the thing that I believe in influence. So to me, influencer is not just about having 100,000 people in your following. It's about being a tide that uplifts all boats. And this quote is not mine, folks. So that's my definition of an influencer. So that day, I was just standing there and speaking to different parents, explaining to them what is robotics, and even like going and asking them that, hey, if you're interested, we'll come out to your school, we'll help you set up a program. Because my kids, yes, I call them my kids, folks. They, the whole team was very enthusiastic of sharing STEM with kids and increasing the awareness, because that's the direction we are going. And it brings to light, especially this pandemic has brought to light, that technology is really a part of our lives. It's not something that we can say, oh, you know what, I'm not interested. It is a part of life, and it has become a necessity. So we're sitting there, and I see this young girl, probably 9 or 10 years old. She is watching all those boys down on the ground with literally these eyes. Like, I could see that burning desire in her. She wanted to get on the floor, but she's hesitant. She took one step and then stepped back. So I went up to her, and I'm just going to change her name, folks, for the sake. Let's call her Linda. And I said, Linda, can you help me get down on the floor? There are a lot of boys. Can you help me as another girl, and we can start building? She looked at me with these deep, soulful eyes and just nodded. We sat down on the ground, and she started. I'm like, okay, can you show me? She got started. Poof! She was off to a start, leaving everybody else behind. Like, she's just going at it. And then I see a couple of other parents come through the door with younger kids. And younger kids are harder to engage. So I tell Linda, can you hold the fort down here? Can I go and just check on those kids that have come through the door? And she goes, there's no exchange of words here, folks. I'm talking to her, and she's conveying everything through those beautiful eyes of hers. And then I'm talking, playing with those youngster kids, trying to woo them. Hey, you want to check it out? You know, we have big robots. We give them the remote control. They get to play with it, and they get to move it and get the feel for it. So as I'm talking, I glance, I look at Linda. You know, she's doing well. I'm like, okay, she's taken care of. And then I'm speaking to another parent. My back is towards the kids. And all of a sudden, I feel these two arms come around my waist and hug me so tight. I look down, and this girl's eyes were sparkling like stars, folks. I have been in areas where there have been no light, looking at the starlights. And like, you know, Yosemite and a lot of high up in the mountains. And the stars did not hold the candle to the stars in her eyes. And to this day, it makes my heart full that I was able to influence that girl.
Mm.
And I knew that I had lit something inside her that would carry her towards wherever she wanted to go, that she had moved beyond a barrier.
Yeah.
Not only that, she was holding these young kids' hands, taking them and showing them that how they could work with those robotics kids. Sorry, I'm a little emotional here, but
that's okay. I mean, it's such a great
that's,
story,
right? And that and was the time that germinated the idea for this book.
Mm.
It's not only that little girl, but there are so many women and men who have this potential within them. They know they have the experiences of their lives that they can share and make a difference. And they hold back because they think that what they have to say will not make a difference. So I took all kind of things combined in the mindset piece, that I see the brilliance in people, the potential. I've seen so many potentials unfold. and giving the practical aspects that you can take and put it into practice and implement it so that you can achieve that transition from being an expert. If you have like experiences where you can teach somebody, yes, you're an expert, or if you have a craft, for example, let's say you may be a chef and you know certain things really good, you're an expert. Not everybody knows everything, and your learnings will make a difference. So it's important to become that influencer. And it's not just about influencer in the terms of making seven-figure business or creating a platform where your following is in 100,000s. It's about impacting that even one person.
Right.
Because, folks, one thing I'll tell you is that you can cause a ripple effect. And that's how it started out and the process. I think so the total time was around 3 months, 3 months to write a draft and then moving through editors, of course.
Yeah. So what are the top three things in the way of outcomes that readers would gain from that book?
So one of the key things that you would learn is knowing how you can serve others. So we go over different looking into the mental shoes of the other people. And when you know that, you can form a deeper connection.
Okay.
Then secondly is like you're going to learn what is your brand. And I'm not just talking about logos and websites and colors, folks. I'm talking about how you show up in every single interaction, how you show up for yourself every single day. How do you show up for other people? How do you show up for your family? How do you show up in your life? It's so important to know. So basically, we are helping people design it. We are helping it build it. And then the third is you live it. So when you live it, you are changing your life. You're playing full out. You're designing your business. You're designing your career. You're designing everything around your life, not the other way around. And you get the joy. Why do we go on vacation? Why do we go to work? Why do we go to school? Why do we learn things? Why do we jump off the cliffs? Or why do we go on a hot air balloon? It's to get the joy. So it's about finding that inner joy and inner peace through impacting others, because I sincerely believe that when you help others, you will find joy. And to corroborate that, there is a leading neuroscientist, Richard Davidson. He has figured out, we have got four different circuits in brain, and one of the circuits is a do-good brain, folks. So if you're thinking that you are awesome and you're helping others, we are wired to do that. And when we help others, it makes us feel good. So there is an element of selfishness in for all of us.
That's what produces oxytocin, right?
You got it.
Good hormone. Actually, it's interesting. I was writing a post. I have a word for the day post that I write. And I was writing a post recently, and the word for the day was languish. So it's something I started at the beginning of the COVID crisis. Mm-hmm. And I picked a letter every week. And at that point, I was obviously up to L in the alphabet. So languishing was about feeling this low energy, not being motivated, sort of fading out, not being very interested in life. And my post was all about exactly that. You know, when you think about the work that you're doing, you know, is it just to pay the bills, which is a very important piece for your family? Is there a bigger purpose, though? And if I think about, you know, Viktor Frankl's work, Man's Search for Meaning, which is a, you know, classic in the coaching space.
Oh, beautiful book.
You know, one of his top three things that he identified being in a concentration camp, he had a lot of time to think, was that if you are working on something that has a purpose bigger than yourself, that's going to be really fulfilling. And it's going to, you know, it's the energy of pulling you forwards towards that mission or dream. And I have, you know, great respect for that work. And then also connecting what you just shared with one of my colleagues, Dr. Ravi Gunlapalli, who's the founder for MentorCloud down in Silicon Valley, that doing some work with him right now, is a big fan of mentoring, and he says, you know, just one conversation can change the direction of someone's career. And it could be, you know, in mentorship, it could be change the direction of your life, of your relationship, your marriage, your work, whatever it is. But it's that guidance that we can share. And sometimes we don't even realize the value of one small kind act, one piece of information shared, one nugget of wisdom. And many years later, I mean, I've reconnected with protégés that I've worked with, and you see where they're at and you think, wow, it did make a really big ripple. So Influencer, great book. Highly recommend that you pick up a copy of that. And just as we start to wrap up here, very often I will invite my guests, if there's something that they have that they wanted to share, a gift for the audience, to go ahead and speak about that. Was there something that you wanted the audience to take away from this?
Yeah, absolutely. The gift, folks, I'm sharing with you is your brand story. It's a full, pretty in-depth and a step-by-step that will help you design a brand. And when I talk about a brand, we talked a little bit earlier about it, is letting your purpose shine through, letting your integrity and letting your authenticity shine through. And when that shines through, you will connect. And one of the things I want to like really, really emphasize upon is that you're not going to please everyone. And yet you will connect with your own tribe, with your kind of people. And that's what you want to do. So that's what I'm sharing with you, is that building that meaningful brand story so that you can impact people. People are drawn to you.
Yeah.
And I've shared the link with you, so.
Yes. So if you've been fascinated by this interview, as I have, and you want to keep in touch with Divya, you can go to a website, entrepreneur.divyaparekh.com. So DIVYAPAREKH.com, entrepreneur.divyaparekh.com. Is that where the link is for the brand guide that you mentioned?
Actually, there is another link. The link is separate, and I can share it with you.
May as well just speak it out on camera here, and then that's in the recording for those listening live today.
So the link for that is, folks, HTTPS, which is Harry Tom Tom, P as in Potter, S as in Sam, :// success .diviaparekh.com/ your brand story.
Your brand story. Okay, so success.diviaparekh.com/ your story.
Your brand story.
Your brand story. Excellent. Okay. All right, I will put that in the show notes as well. Excellent. I love it when my guests are bringing their wisdom to share with the audience, and also to be completely transparent in terms of offering a gift as well to cement the learning. So thank you so much for joining me today. And as we just wrap up here, if you are intrigued by the work that I'm doing as well, I also have a free gift to offer, which is a free 3-chapter excerpt of my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. And to pick up that 3-chapter excerpt, you can simply go to my website, which is wordswomenandwisdom.com. So words, women, and then A-N-D instead of an ampersand, wordswomenandwisdom.com, and download that free 3-chapter excerpt. And that'll give you a taste of some of the work that I'm doing out in the world as well. So together, we have today shared a number of insights. So if you find yourself in a situation as Divya did, where you're not sure exactly where that silver lining is going to come from, remember to stay patient, because every single time that we have one of these experiences, just keep in mind that the universe wants us to be having a fantastic life. It wants us to do well. And therefore, if we're being caused to be flat on our back for a period of time, there are going to be gifts that come out of it. And I know it's hard to see at the moment that you're in so much pain, but having that trust that there's a purpose, a bigger purpose, why that's shown up for you is really the key thing. Any final words in our last minute, Divya?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for the great work you're doing, Yvonne. And then secondly, folks, I sincerely believe that you have an influencer within you. So don't let that potential just go by in your life. You're meant to be doing great things. So tap into that potential, let that light shine, and help, even if you help one person, help somebody out. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thank you for joining me today. And everybody else, have a beautiful day and keep focused on searching out through your own self-reflection, what is your biggest purpose in life? And then go for it. Have a beautiful day. Bye for now, everyone. Hey, everybody. It's Yvonne Silva back again. I wanted to let you know about a fantastic opportunity coming up starting August 6th. This Thursday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, is a masterclass series starting, which is designed specifically to support business owners who are leaders, coaches, consultants, trainers, small business owners. It's an opportunity to learn more about a system for science, success, and a system that will help to have over 300% increase in your results. Yes, I said 300% increase. It's a coaching program, which is a game changer for any business owner or leader ready for greater success and ready to make an impact. So this is using proven personality science combined with the latest artificial intelligence tools, creating what I call, or what's being called rather, a success trifecta. So when we pull together personality science, artificial intelligence, and emotional intelligence, we actually have some really cool things happening to understand how to elevate your success by up to 300% using proven science, deepening relationship skills, and mastering conversations. So the skills I'm talking about, getting results which will help business owners to thrive even in these uncertain times. We've already seen there's a lot of businesses that are starting to flounder, that are going under, even big business. And this is an opportunity for you as an entrepreneur to be nimble and to be taking full advantage of the latest tools and technologies, bringing together six bank internal operating system, iOS, intelligences. So it brings together business intelligence, personality intelligence, sales intelligence, emotional intelligence, artificial intelligence, and finally, and what I consider to be one of the most impactful things, is spiritual intelligence. So this is looking at how to be a conscious entrepreneur in today's economy, who's being successful. So you're working smarter versus harder and looking at new ways to pivot in your business using the latest tools and techniques to foster strong relationships, which of course is the essence for longevity in business, whether that's through joint venturing, through client sales conversations, through building all types of different relationships. Business today is built on relationships. So you can learn more about the four-week masterclass led by international speaker and founder for Bank and Codebreaker Technologies, Sherry Tree. I will put the link in below. If you're curious to take the personality science test itself, it's only 90 seconds that you need to invest to discover your personality style, your four code personality style. You can text the word CODE to this number. So text the word CODE, C-O-D-E, to 403-668, 9279, take advantage of the fact that that personality style report is actually a $99 value. It's actually free right now. So it's a gift with my compliments for the listeners. So text the word code to 403-668-9279. And following that, you'll be invited to participate as well in joining in with the masterclass. Now, there's something special happening I want to mention before I wrap up, is you have the opportunity to access the artificial intelligence and sales and personality intelligence tools, the science behind the Codebreaker and Bank methodology. You have a chance to trial it for just $1 for 30 days. Check it out. And the report that you receive, you can actually be offering this opportunity for personality coding to all of your prospective clients and taking full advantage of the results and the outcomes and understanding how to deliver content based on their preferred communication style. I'll give you a quick example. There's four personality types. Personality typing is not new. It's been around since, well, Hippocrates, who was treating people based on their medicinal needs, but based on four personality types that he identified and was very successful doing it. This evolved over the years into personality typing, to explore Myers-Briggs, DISC, for example. Those are psychology-based personality types and tools. Bank is the only one that is based on the science of buying. So it's looking at four different values sets to help identify how people like to receive information, how they like to communicate, and why they buy. It's really cool. I invite you to join the masterclass, learn more about this trial offer, to have a chance to play with the technology for a whole month, and join on the masterclass to learn how to really leverage the six intelligences and pull together different results for your business over the next 6 months. So it's for savvy business owners, leaders, entrepreneurs, coaches, trainers, consultants, sales and marketing staff, or sales leaders. Those are the people that will be resonating with this communication style, this personality science. So join the 4-week masterclass or learn more about it by signing up first for the personality test. The personality report you'll receive will then follow with an invitation to join the masterclass. I look forward to seeing you there and hopefully to hearing more about how this science, this technology, this proven way, this proven system could potentially impact your business and help you increase your results by up to 300% this year. I'll see you on the masterclass. Bye for now, everyone.